Okay, so let's jump right in.
Sounds good.
We're talking canine food aggression. You guys sent in some really fascinating stuff for this deep dive.
Yeah.
We've got a couple Caesar Millen videos.
Love Caesar.
Yeah, an episode of It's Me or the Dog, and a short but really insightful excerpt on using trade-ups in dog training.
Nice.
That moment your usually lovable pup like turns into Cujo over a bowl of kibble.
Right.
We're going to unpack why that happens and more importantly what you can do about it.
And you've got the perfect mix of material for that, right?
Yeah.
Like it's one thing to kind of grasp the theory,
Right.
but seeing those real-world examples, especially from trainers like Caesar and Victoria,
Yeah.
it really brings those concepts to life.
Totally. So let's talk about that whole food is lava phenomenon, right? It's like the second a food bowl enters the aquarium, all bets are off.
Yeah, and it's easy to think like, dude, I feed you every day.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? Chill out.
Right.
But it's not actually about the food itself.
Right.
It's about something much deeper. It's resource guarding, that primal instinct
Okay.
that's present even in our like domesticated dogs.
Interesting.
You see this in the wild too, wolves protecting their killa. It's
Yeah.
hardwired.
So even if our dogs, they've never truly had to fight for a meal,
Right.
that instinct is still like lurking somewhere in their DNA.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They might not be fending off rivals in the wild,
Right.
but that bowl of kibble represents security,
Okay.
and they're hardwired to protect it.
Makes sense. Which brings us to Caesar Millen and his, shall we say, hands-on approach.
Yeah.
I was particularly struck by that first video with Holly, the dog that had actually bitten him before. And like, this wasn't just for show, this was a real issue.
Right. And what's fascinating is how Caesar handles that intensity.
Yeah.
Like his calmness isn't just about preventing the situation from escalating.
Right.
It's actually a training tool in itself.
Okay.
Because dogs, they mirror our energy.
Right.
So by staying calm, we can actually help shift their emotional state.
So it's not just about us not freaking out, it's about like projecting that calmness onto the dog as well.
Precisely. And that's where the tools come in. The
Yeah.
leash, the raised bowls, they're not meant to be punishments. They're about control and communication,
Okay.
giving the dog a sense of security and predictability.
It's almost like setting boundaries, not in like a harsh way,
Right.
but in a, hey, this is how we do things around here.
Exactly. And that ties back to that whole pack leader concept Caesar often talks about.
Right.
It's not about dominance,
Yeah.
but it is about projecting this quiet confidence that allows the dog to relax because they trust you to manage the resources.
So it's less about, yelling no and more about embodying that calm, in control energy.
It's about shifting the dog's perception from, I need to defend this,
Yeah.
to, okay, they've got this handled.
Interesting. Which brings us to the It's Me or the Dog episode. And Mr. Black, who had a rather, shall we say, unique way of reacting to his owner near his food bowl.
The dog who literally peed himself.
Yes, that one definitely stands out, even for someone like me who's seen a lot of dog behavior.
Right, it just seemed like such a contradiction, wanting to protect the food, but also being terrified at the same time. It highlights the complex emotions at play.
Yay.
Mr. Black wasn't just being aggressive, he was also deeply anxious, conflicted even.
Right.
He wanted to protect his food, but he was also worried about his human's reaction.
And that's where understanding those subtle cues, it's not about dominance.
Right.
It's about recognizing that anxiety and helping them feel safe.
Absolutely. A dog like Mr. Black isn't trying to be difficult.
Right.
He's communicating his needs, the best way he knows how.
Right.
And that brings us to the training techniques that Victoria uses,
Okay.
starting with desensitization.
Oh,
It's like
goodness.
gradually getting him used to their presence around the food.
Which makes perfect sense, right? Instead of going from 0 to 60, you're slowly changing that association.
Right, you're leveraging classical conditioning. Pairing that neutral stimulus, the owner's presence, with something positive, the food.
Right.
And like, instead of just putting the bowl down,
Yeah.
Victoria actually adds food to it while approaching calmly.
So Mr. Black starts to think, wait a minute, good things happen when they're near my food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're shaping their emotional response.
Okay.
And then there's the gradual touch,
Okay.
only when Mr. Black is already relaxed and eating.
Yeah.
Victoria pairs gentle petting with those positive interactions.
Oh, so you're catching them in that moment of enjoyment,
Exactly.
enforcing that, good things happen when they're not guarding.
Yeah.
And this is where patience is key,
That's
right?
a good
Absolutely.
point.
It's not about expecting, overnight miracles.
Building that trust takes time and consistency.
For sure.
And it's not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Right.
Which is why that excerpt you shared about trade-ups really resonated with me.
Yes. Tell me more about that.
Okay.
The idea of offering a high-value treat to kind of distract them from the food bowl.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It's incredibly effective.
Yeah.
Because you're changing the whole dynamic.
Right.
Instead of competing for the same resource.
Right.
You're saying like, hey, let's cooperate. I've got something even better over here.
It's like leveling up the food game. So instead of guarding out of fear of losing what they have.
Right.
They're intrigued by the possibility of something even tastier.
Exactly. And you're building that positive association with your presence.
Right.
Instead of triggering that fear response, it's all about communication and trust.
Speaking of communication, Caesar made an interesting point about how even the owner's energy can unintentionally fuel a dog's anxieties.
Oh, totally.
He was working with this dog that redirected its aggression towards objects.
Yeah.
And you could just tell, like, the owner was already anticipating that behavior.
Oh, absolutely. That anticipation creates a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
The dog feeds off that nervous energy, and the cycle continues.
It's like they're both stuck in this pattern of stress and reactivity.
Totally.
So how do you break that cycle?
Well, Caesar's approach is fascinating.
Okay.
He actually moves the food bowl away from the dog.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That seems so counterintuitive. Like, wouldn't that just make the dog more frantic?
You'd think so, but it's about redirecting their focus.
Okay.
By calmly removing the trigger, you're actually rewarding calmness.
It's like saying, hey, when you're chilled out and paying attention to me,
right,
good things happen around your food. That's amazing.
It's about, creating that space for the dog to, like, make a different choice.
Right.
A calmer choice. And, that can be a game changer.
It's amazing how such a subtle shift in approach can make such a big difference. It really highlights the importance of understanding the why behind the behavior.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And sometimes that why, it goes beyond basic instinct.
Right.
Like we've been focusing on resource guarding.
Right.
But food aggression can also come from past experiences.
Yeah.
Especially in rescue dogs.
That makes sense. A dog who's, experienced food scarcity might be more likely to guard it in the future.
Exactly. Their behavior is a form of communication. And it's our job to listen and respond with, empathy and understanding.
Which might mean seeking professional help, right?
Absolutely.
We've touched on that.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth reiterating, especially for anyone listening who might be struggling.
I couldn't agree more. A certified trainer or behaviorist can, really assess your individual dog.
Right.
Consider their history and triggers and tailor a plan that meets their specific needs.
Because what works for one dog might not work for another.
Exactly.
And there's no shame in recognizing when you need expert guidance.
Precisely. It's about being an advocate for your dog and seeking out the best possible support.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, is there one key takeaway you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah. I think the most important thing to remember is that dogs are incredibly adaptable and forgiving creatures.
Yeah.
Even if they've, displayed food aggression, there's always hope. With patience, understanding, and the right approach, we can help them feel safer and more secure around their food and strengthen that incredible bond we share with them.
That's a beautiful thought to end on. Thanks for taking this deep dive with me.
My pleasure.
It's been eye-opening.
It's always a pleasure to talk about canine behavior, especially when we can help dogs and their humans live happier, more harmonious lives together.
And to all you dog lovers out there, keep those tails wagging, and we'll catch you on our next deep dive.